Welcome to the Gregory Digout Podcast.
Well, welcome to Moments. I'm really excited about what's going on right now today and has been going on for the last couple days. We are jumping into our fast from wrong thinking for 2022. We're on day three. And so in tonight's Moments episode, I'm going to focus on day three. And I've got some really, really fun things to share with you out of this amazing passage of scripture that we talk about from Mark chapter 4 and the points that are made in day three. Because we're going to be fasting from the thought today of I am afraid. And all that means is we are dismantling the belief system that produces fear in our lives. We're fasting from the mindsets that are defeating us and the mindsets that are leaving us anxious and in fear. And I want to invite you to join in on this with me. If you haven't been receiving the daily emails, they're free. Just go to fastfromwrongthinking.com or gregorydickow.com. Fastfromwrongthinking.com will take you to the page. You sign up and you begin to get a daily email for 40 days. And I got to read some of the amazing testimonies first before I get into this day. Just things that are in the book that I put together on Fast from Wrong Thinking. I recently completed the 40-day fast from wrong thinking. As a result, I quit smoking shortly after. I had smoked for over 50 years of my life. Now I've been 4 months clean with no cravings at all. Only God could have done that. Thank you, Pastor Dickow, for being real and doing all that God has planned for you according to his will. This was from Deborah that sent this in. We included it in our book a few years ago. And I'm just blessed to see how addictions are broken. And someone who was suicidal, thank you very much for the email and messages on Fast from Wrong Thinking. They helped me so much, I was even able to share them with a former colleague who had just received medical news and was threatening to commit suicide. But this message of hope made all the difference. So I think that's an incredible testimony as well. Remember, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, meaning when you hear somebody else's testimony of what's happened in their life, it can be a prophecy of what's going to happen, of what can happen in your life. Free from anxiety, Joan wrote in, since I have been doing the fast from wrong thinking, I feel like I have been to a therapist. I find I am not feeling anxious or weighed down with situations. As soon as a bad thought comes, I just cast it out. It is the most freeing thing I have done. Thank you so much, Gregory Dickow. And really, this isn't about me, but I'm grateful that the precious people wrote me to, and so that I could include this in the book and include this in our journey, which is a revolutionary experience. Fasting from wrong thinking is something that an idea God gave me several years ago. And it was just about fasting instead of just fasting from food. It's fasting from wrong thinking. And in fact, I want to encourage you during these 40 days, don't worry about fasting from food. Like, eat whatever is healthy to you and whatever is desirable for you. But let's fast from negative thoughts. You could give up food for the next 40 days and still have the same thinking 40 days later, and you're going to live in the same defeated mindsets, but you're just going to be hungrier. So I want to encourage you to abstain. We're going to attack the thoughts that have been attacking us, and we're going to dismantle them so they're no longer controlling your life, no longer shaping your emotions, that shape your decisions, that shape your habits, that shape your destiny. So instead, we're going to take these thoughts captive and truly experience freedom. And by the way, you can also, there's several cool resources that you can get. And we're going to give at this time in our service, in this time in our broadcast, our webcast, our Moments episode. I want to just invite you to give, help our church and our ministry get this message of fasting from wrong thinking to more people. We're translating this now, I think, in three or four languages that we have fast from wrong thinking translated in. And we're covering, our goal is to cover the earth with fasting from wrong thinking and delivering people from the mindsets of fear and the mindsets that defeat them, and changing mindsets that change the world. So give your give as you give your tithes, offerings tonight or whenever you're watching this, I'm first of all, thank you. And secondly, it's all going towards reaching more people. And we have a collection. If you'd like to purchase this, you certainly can do that as well. It has the book, Fast and Wrong Thinking, and the journal. It actually says Fast and Wrong Thinking on it. It's really cool. And it's available on our website that you can buy it or donate towards it. But that's neither here nor there. I want to just encourage you to give, because when you give, you're going to receive. You can't outgive God. Jesus said, give and it shall be given unto you. And good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And so take a moment, and there are several ways you can give. You'll see on your screen. And let me get into day three, which is the day we're on since we started on Monday. But you can jump in at any time. You can. Day one will be for you whenever you sign up for it. And again, it's free to get the free emails for 40 days. Okay, the granddaddy of all wrong thoughts that I think we need to dismantle and attack is the thoughts that say, I am afraid. Fearful thoughts. And one of the things, you know, when it comes to even when it comes to giving, I was thinking about us giving tonight, I just remembered that the reason why people don't give is because they're afraid God's promises aren't true. They're afraid God's word won't work. And so when I shared that scripture just a moment ago, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Jesus said that in Luke chapter 6. The reason we don't give is because we actually don't believe that verse. If we believed that verse that when we give, it'll be given back to us, if we believed God's promise, then fear would leave. But when we're afraid, the real reason why some people don't give is not because they're stingy or they're selfish. It's just because they might be afraid that they won't receive back, or afraid that God's word won't work. I think that's really the source of all fear, that we actually are afraid that maybe God's promises aren't true. Yet they are. But so often Satan sows these seeds of fear in our mind. So let's go through this particular segment, this particular day of fasting from wrong thinking. And I just believe we are going to whip the devil's behind with God's word, and we are going to truly walk a fearless life. You can be fearless in life, courageous and confident, not cocky, arrogant, but courageous and confident and trusting God. And here's how we break it down. Here's how we dismantle the mindset of fear. Number one, we need to meditate on the fact that God's word is true, that not one word, not one promise in God's word has failed to come to pass. Not one thing that God ever promised has failed to come to pass. God's track record. We have to consider God's track record. So point number one is we need to meditate on the fact that God's word is true. Okay. And John 17:17, Jesus said, your word, he was praying to the Father, and he said, your word is truth. And what God says is a fact. Whether you feel it, whether you see it, whether you believe it or not, it is still a fact. And so I want to encourage you to meditate on the fact that God's word is true. It is a fact that Jesus rose from the dead. It is not just my belief that he rose from the dead. It's not just your belief that he rose from the dead. He actually did rise from the dead. That is a fact. And there's historical evidence proving that he rose from the dead. But if that's not enough for you, consider God's track record is point number two. 1 Kings 8:56 says, every word has come true of all of his good promises. Every word has come true of all of his good promises. I love that verse, particularly in this translation, the New Living Translation. Fear leaves. Fear runs away from you when you can rely on something that can't fail. God has never failed to fulfill his promises, and in fact, there are over 1,000 predictions or prophecies in the Bible. This is going to change your life once you hear this. There are over 1,000 predictions or prophecies in the Bible, promises that God made before they ever happened. The chances, now I did some like scientific research, mathematical research on this. The chances of even 17 of these 1,000 predictions coming to pass is 1 out of 450 billion times a billion times a trillion. Did you hear that? The statistical possibility of even 17 out of the 1,000 promises that God has made, or the 1,000 predictions that God made, for 17 of those to even come to pass. Now, all of them came to pass, except the one about Jesus coming back the second time, because he hasn't come back yet, but that too will be fulfilled. That too shall come to pass. But the statistical possibility or probability of 17 out of 1,000 of these promises coming to pass is 1 out of 450 billion times a billion times a trillion. That is, I don't even know what that adds up to, but it's a lot. And yet, not just 17 of these promises have come to pass, all of them have, except the ones related to the second coming of Jesus. So do not be afraid. God's track record, like if you were relying on American Airlines to get you from Chicago to New York every week, and they had proven that their track record every time that they take off for New York, they land in an hour and a half every time. And they have a track record, let's say, of 25 years of landing every time. You have no worries about whether that plane's going to land when you know the track record of that airline. If, however, you discovered a fact, not that this is true, but if it was, that 1 out of every 2 planes that took off didn't make it and crashed, you would not take that airline ever again because of the track record that it had. And I hate to even imagine something like that, you know, but what I'm trying to illustrate is every day you rely on things because of the track record that they have, whether it's people at work or whether it's your car that you rely on or whether it's your blow dryer to dry your hair. You're relying on each of those things that potentially are dangerous things, such as a car if it's not reliable. But because of its track record, you have faith to get in it every day and use it and drive from destination A to destination B or from point A to point B. Why? Because of its track record. So all the more, we should trust God and take him at his word because of his track record. He's never failed to keep his promise, and he never will. He's not gonna start with you. You're not all of a sudden an exception where God's like, okay, you know what? I kept all my promises to everybody else, but for you, you know what? I don't like you that much, so no, I'm not gonna keep my promises to you. No, God is not like that. He doesn't pick 1 or 2 or 1,000 people to do it for and then other people that he's not gonna do it for. He is consistent. He is no respecter of persons. Whatever he promised to one, he promises to all, okay? So I encourage you to consider God's track record. And there you have it on that point. Number three, we need to realize that fear is faith in the negative. It's faith in negative things happening. And so we need to realize what we fear has power. Like fear has power just like faith has power. When you believe God's promise, that's faith that will produce a good result. When you believe a fear, when you embrace fear, it has the power to come to pass when you celebrate it, when you talk about it, when you give it life, when you speak it forth, when you speak fear-filled words. Those things have the power to come to pass, just as your faith-filled words have the power to come to pass. In Job chapter 3, verse 25, Job, he was afraid that his children would curse God, and that's what happened. And he said, wow, what I feared has come upon me. You see, when you realize that, when you realize fear has the power to produce negative results, then you'll stop dabbling in fear. You'll stop living in fear. You'll stop entertaining fear. You'll stop allowing fear to control you. When you realize fear has power to produce negative results, you stop dabbling in it. When a child learns what fire can do, he no longer plays with matches. When you realize what fear can do, fear voiced can come to pass just like faith voiced comes to pass. So understand that about fear, and it'll awaken you to all a reason to dismantle it. Number four, perfect love casts out fear. 1 John 4:18 says, God is love and perfect love casts out fear. When you flood your mind with thoughts of God's love for you, that dismantles fear. God's love for you and what he's willing to do to rescue you. If he would die for you while you were in sin and while you were separated from him, there's just nothing that he wouldn't do for you. Boy, if you could just pause for a moment, like we like to quote in Psalms, Selah, pause. Think on that for a moment. That there's nothing God won't do for you. And when you believe that, fear leaves. Number five, this is how we're dismantling the thought that I'm afraid, the thoughts of fear. There is a promise from God's word for every need you will ever experience. So in the Bible, there are over 7,000 promises. That's 7,000 solutions to life's problems. 7,000 solutions to life's problems. For example, there is a promise of divine protection in Psalm 91, verse 1 through 12, which talks about how God will deliver us from the fear of evil, from the fear of sickness, from the fear of tragedy. What an awesome promise from God's word. So dwell on that. And if I could just use this one last illustration that I started talking about several years ago regarding fear, is one of the things that has really helped me to overcome fear and anxiety in my life, and I hope it'll help you as well, is I use this phrase, take inventory of what you have. Take inventory of what you have. And this will deliver you from fear. Whenever I get anxious, whenever I get afraid that I don't have something, I start taking inventory of what I do have, because what I do have is the secret to receiving what I don't have. If I could understand what I do have, it'll help me to handle whatever situation I face regarding something I don't have. So what I mean by that is Jesus taught this parable of planting the seed in Mark chapter 4, and then he gets in the boat with his disciples. Remember that? We started talking about this when COVID first hit in 2020. I was talking about it even before that, but it really came alive to me even more in 2020 and 2021. But here in Mark chapter 4, verse 35, it says, that same day after he taught them the parable of planting the seed and then going to bed at night, he got in a ship and he began to cross the sea, and his disciples with him as well. And verse 36 says, when they had sent away the multitude, they took him in the ship, and there was a great storm. Verse 37, it says there was a great storm and wind, which the waves beat against the boat so that it was now full of water. And he was in the back of the boat, verse 38 says, asleep on a pillow, asleep on a pillow. There's a storm raging, and he's asleep on a pillow. And the disciples got so afraid, they woke him up and they said, "Master, don't you care that we perish? Don't you care that we're perishing here? We're drowning, we're sinking, we're dead." And he arose, the Bible says they said, "Master, don't you care?" And verse 39, and he arose and rebuked the wind. Oh, you have that wind rebuking power too. It says he rebuked the wind. And then he spoke to the sea, "Peace, be still." He rebuked the wind and then he spoke to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the Bible says, and the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Boy, do you want great calm in your life? I want great calm in my life. I want great calm in your life too. And when he rebuked the wind, he rebuked the thing that was trying to hurt them, and he rebuked and he spoke to the thing that was disturbing the waters, the waves of the sea. He spoke to the sea and he said, "Peace, be still." And there was a great calm. And the Bible says in verse 40, and he said to them, "Why were you so afraid? How is it that you don't have faith? How is it that you have no faith?" Now, what was their faith? When he rebuked them, he actually spoke to them and said, "Why are you so afraid?" Why were they so afraid? Because they didn't have faith. And why didn't they have any faith? Because they didn't take inventory of what they had. Now let me go through with you the things that they had that they didn't realize they had, so that you would realize the things you have. So when a storm hits you, you won't live in fear. You'll live in faith because you'll use the tools that you already have. If you look at what they had and realize that you have those same things, fear is destroyed, dismantled, disrupted. It's banished from your life. It leaves. What did they have? They had the presence of God. Jesus was with them in the boat. Jesus said, "Why are you guys afraid?" After he rebuked the wind, calmed the storm. "Why are you afraid? How come you have no faith?" Because they didn't realize what they had. They had God's presence, right? They had God's promise. What did he say? He said, "We're going to the other side," in verse 35. He got in the boat, he said, "Let's go to the other side," right? The promise was, "We're going to the other side." So they had God's presence. They had God's promise. And Jesus had already taught them to speak to the mountain, to speak to the fig tree, to speak. He had already taught them about the power of their words, and they had learned, because most of these guys, they had the Old Testament. They had the ability to look at Proverbs 18:21, says death and life are in the power of the tongue. They knew that their tongue had power. They had seen Jesus calm the sea with his tongue, with his words. And Jesus told them that you guys are able to do the same things I'm able to do. So they had God's power. See, the ability to speak life. So they had God's presence. They had God's promise. And they had God's power. Do you know today you have God's presence? If you're born again, he lives inside of you. Do you know that you have God's promise? Whatever the promise is that you need applies to your life. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. That's just one promise. All the promises of God are yes and amen, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. So you have God's promises and you have the ability to speak life. Your words have power, so you have God's power. Guess what you end up having when you realize you have all three of those things? When you know you have God's presence, you know you have God's promise, you know you have God's power, you end up with God's peace. And fear is destroyed, defeated, dismantled, dismissed from your life. I want to encourage you today when fear ever hits you, this is how I fast from fear. This is how I dismantle fear in my life. I remember what I have. I have God's presence. I have God's promise. I have God's power. You have those same three things. We all have them because we're born again. We're in Christ. So I want to lead you in this moment of prayer now. Can we just speak this out loud? Everybody say this out loud, and let's think it and let's speak it. Ready? Say this. God's word is true. Whatever, say this out loud. God's word is true, whether I feel it or not. Come on, say that with me. He has kept all of his promises and he has never failed. Let's declare that. Say, I am in God's presence by the blood of Jesus. Therefore, because he is with me, say that, because he's with me, I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil. Say that. God loves me perfectly, and his love casts out fears. Declare that. God loves me perfectly, and his love casts out fear. I have power, love, and a sound mind in Jesus' name. Say that. I have power, love, and a sound mind in Jesus' name. And say this. I have God's power. Come on, say that. I have God's power. I have God's presence. Say that. I have God's presence. I have God's promise. And when you say those things, you're flooding your brain, you're flooding your body with faith energy. When that woman who had the issue of blood for 12 years, she said to herself, and the Bible says, literally translated, she kept saying to herself, if I touch his garment, I'll be made whole. If I just touch his garment, I'll be made whole. If I just touch his garment, I'll be made whole. She kept saying that to herself. And she then pressed through the crowd and she touched the hem of his garment. And all of a sudden, power, energy came forth out of Jesus' body. In fact, to the point where Jesus said, whoa, who touched me? Because I felt virtue. I felt power leave my body. It's because she tapped into his power by speaking and declaring that if I touch his garment, I'll be made well. It produced her words, speaking that promise, produced the faith energy for her healing, and she was healed instantly. I want to encourage you. She was healed instantly, but she spent time declaring and speaking and prophesying over herself. When I touch his garment, I'm going to be made whole. When I touch his garment, I'm going to be made whole. Boy, we have that kind of power. You have that kind of power. Start using it. This is how we dismantle fear from our lives. This is how we fast from the wrong belief system and the wrong thinking. Thoughts of fear. Follow those simple steps. By the way, if you haven't signed up for Fast from Wrong Thinking, do that. And you'll get these emails, 41 every day for 40 days. And just do one each day. It takes 5 minutes with it. Now on Wednesdays, I'm going to take you through over the next few weeks, whatever day we're on that particular day. You may be on a different day, but that's on that particular day, whatever day we're on, starting from day one, then I'm going to share that day with you in our moments together. I'm going to pray for you as well, as we did. Lord, I just bless every person watching this. I thank you that you have delivered them from fear. They can walk through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil, because you are with them. Your presence is with them. In Jesus' name, amen. Now listen, if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, why don't you just pray this with me? I want to invite you to the family of God. Just pray this simple prayer. Jesus, come into my life. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. From this moment forward, I'm a child of God. If you prayed that prayer, would you let me know? Just find me online here and email me, social media, reach me. Any way you can reach me, please let me know that you just prayed that prayer to receive Jesus as your Savior and Lord. I congratulate you. You're now my brother or sister in Christ. I welcome you to the family of God, and I would love to celebrate with you. Join me on Sunday in person or online at our Life Changers International Church services. And I can't wait to see everybody then. And thanks for tuning in. Thanks for connecting with me for moments. And I'll see you on Sunday. God bless.